Well, it's good to see everybody that is here today. We do have a lot that are away and some that have come down with COVID and other things that they are not able to be with us, but it's good to see all of you here today. We want to turn our attention to God's Word, and in the book of Acts, we are continuing a series of lessons in the book of Acts this morning in chapter 20. Of the book of Acts, and we want to direct our thinking today about the importance of building each other up. And by that I mean building each other up spiritually, building each other up in the commitment that we have to Christ, and to help and encourage each other to be stronger as we serve Him together. Realizing that there are many things that today hinder us and discourage us and weaken us as we live the Christian life. And it's urgent and it's important for each one of us to take part in the work of the Lord, to be an active member, not to be a bench warmer, not to be a person who sits on the back seat and only comes in and attends worship and does not involve in any other activities beyond that point. That is what the Bible describes as a lukewarm Christian that the Lord will spew out of his mouth. So we want to see the importance of building each other up in the faith and helping each other as we look today in Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, we find that the Apostle Paul has come to the end of his third journey as he has gone out into the world as Christ directed him to do with the other apostles and began to proclaim the good message of Jesus raised from the dead as our Savior. And the terms of salvation that are available to man in the gospel to hear the word of God, to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of our sins, and confess and be baptized into the Lord and live a faithful Christian life. The Apostle Paul has gone out on these journeys and has established churches in places where Jesus was not known before. He went out on one journey with Barnabas, he went out on a second journey with Silas, and now on a third journey, he is going to be beginning, as we see today, spending some time in the city of Ephesus, the great city of Ephesus, that was mentioned in Acts chapter 19. Now at the beginning of our study today, in Acts chapter 20, we find that there has been the riot in the city of Ephesus. And that this is the follow-up to that, that the Apostle Paul has come to the decision that it is time now for him to leave and go into other places where he is needed, to revisit some of the other churches and the congregations that have been there. But what we're going to be focusing on in our study today is this importance of building each other up and seeing this in the example of the Apostle Paul himself. As we look at his own part in that, and he is an example for all of us as we look at how the Apostle Paul conducted himself, how he went about his work of being an apostle and an evangelist of Christ. There is a message and an example that is left for us that we all need to be a part of that work of encouraging fellow Christians. The Apostle Paul has converted many of these people through the preaching of the gospel. People have chosen to follow Jesus. They have turned away from idolatry. They have obeyed the gospel and they have been forgiven of their sins. And they are now living the life of a Christian. The Apostle Paul wants to encourage them to remain faithful in that, understanding the fact that it is very easy for a Christian to fall back or to become weak in their faith if not receiving encouragement. One of the ways that the building up of each other is through the Word of God. The Word of God is able to build us up. And we'll see that in Paul's own words here. But the Word of God in itself, it takes personal involvement and encouragement on each part of us, on the part of each one of us, in order for this to help. It's not enough for us to simply give you a Bible and say, here, read the Bible, and you will find everything here that is necessary, and that's all that we are going to do for you. No, the Lord encouraged us to be much more than that, to develop a concern for each person and a personal application of strengthening and encouraging one another. Now, as we look at Acts chapter 20, we find the Apostle Paul moving from place to place. And that as he left Ephesus, he traveled up again to Troas. And from Troas, he traveled over into Macedonia. These are places where he had previously established congregations in Philippi and in Thessalonica. We know those congregations, also Berea and in Corinth. So he had been to Athens, but there were churches now that he had established in places like this, in Macedonia and in Greece. And the Apostle Paul, leaving behind from Ephesus, knew that it was needed that he would go and visit with these churches once again. So that is what we're going to be looking at. And as he gets there to Macedonia and Achaia, then he is planning to sail from there to Jerusalem. But while he is in Corinth, he finds out that there is a plot against him by the Jews, and therefore he changes his plans and returns back through Macedonia and returns to Troas. And at Troas, there's a first day of the week meeting that we find here in Acts chapter 20 that specifically talks about what the worship is like on the first day of the week. And then as he comes on down from there, he comes to Miletus, and he has a meeting that is very important with the elders of the church in Ephesus. So as we look at the beginning of the chapter, beginning with verses 1 through 6, we look at Paul's example here of how he was always concerned for fellow Christians. And he was concerned about their spiritual encouragement and building them up and helping them to remain faithful in the Lord. It says that after the uproar had ceased, that Paul called the disciples to himself and he embraced them and departed to go to Macedonia. Before leaving Ephesus, then, the Apostle Paul gathered the disciples together for one farewell speech and parting from them. He embraced all of them. And it was important that he not leave without telling them goodbye, and to also be able to say some words to them and encourage them as he was leaving Ephesus to go into Macedonia. We're told that when he went into Macedonia and had gone over that region, that he encouraged them with many words. And then he came to Greece and stayed there for 3 months. So very briefly, Luke is pointing out the visits that Paul made along the way, these different congregations. But each one, he made it a point to spend time with them. That is what I want us to see, that the Apostle Paul, as busy of a person as he was, and as many places he was responsible for as the apostles here to the Gentiles, he made it a point to take time to spend with each congregation. And that is what the example says to us, that it's important for us to consider each person, each individual, and not overlook one another. Be willing to take up from our time and show an interest in one another that goes beyond the confines of simply coming together on the first day of the week, which is important as that is, there is also the aspect that we need to be thinking of one another and encouraging one another throughout the week to remain strong and to be encouraged in our faith. So as he was leaving Ephesus, he embraced the disciples, gathered them together, and as he was visiting through Macedonia, through Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea, the various different congregations, he spoke many words of encouragement to them and spent time with them, even though it was not for a long period of time on this occasion. He had so many other places he needed to go. But as he came into Greece, he spent 3 months there. And during that time, as we put together from the information in the book of Romans, we're able to determine that while Paul was in Corinth for those 3 months, he wrote the epistle to the Romans is one of the things that occurred during that time. Now, the letter to the Romans, Paul had never been to Rome at this time. And yet, there was a church that had been established there. There were Christians meeting in the city of Rome at this time, while Paul was on this third missionary journey. And the year may be around 55, 56 AD at this time. But there are Christians in Rome. And one of the ways we know that there were Christians in Rome is that on the day of Pentecost, many of the Jewish people who came on the day of Pentecost, it even said sojourners from Rome, Jews and proselytes. Well, among those, some of those may have obeyed the gospel of 3,000 that were baptized into Christ on the day of Pentecost. But however it happened, we know that at this time there was a church in Rome. And the Apostle Paul wrote them the Roman letter. And he said, I am getting ready to go and finish this journey that I am on now. And he talked about the fact he was gathering a collection for the saints of Judea. And that after that was completed, he hoped to come to Rome. And even beyond that, someday to go as far as Spain. So those are things that he talked about in the book of Romans. And it appears from the context that he wrote that while he was during these 3 months that he spent in the city of in Greece here, which most likely referring to Corinth. And as he mentions there in the Roman letter, he's very involved at this time in the gathering of a collection for the needy saints. Now, the needy saints in Judea, there was a famine. And the Apostle Paul was aware of that famine and how it was affecting the Jewish brethren throughout Palestine. And he wanted to gather among the Gentile congregations a contribution to take down to help them in their needs. So he had been speaking about this to the Corinthians. He was speaking about it to the Macedonians and Philippi and Thessalonica. They were all on board and willing to help and willing to give to their Jewish brethren. So Paul was going along as he was visiting these congregations. Even though Luke does not talk about that specifically, we know that from other letters that the apostle wrote, he was putting together this contribution. And so it says here that when he left from Corinth here, he was getting ready to sail to Syria. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail, he decided to return through Macedonia. So Paul changed his plans here because he learned that there was a plot among the Jews that while he was on the sailing vessel, the ship, on the way to Syria, they were planning to kill him. Now you think about the fact that the Apostle Paul, being on a ship of that time, how easy it would have been for them to have someone stabbed him to death or thrown him overboard. And there was very little he could protect himself from that. So the Apostle Paul took the point of wisdom and discretion that he would not go that way. Instead, he would return by land through Macedonia. And his goal being to go to Jerusalem to the Passover feast. and the day of Pentecost that was coming up after that. So he wanted to be in Jerusalem because many of the Jews from all over the world would come to Jerusalem for these feasts. It was an excellent opportunity for him to be there at that time, to have more opportunities among the Jews to preach the message of Jesus Christ. That was his goal, to get back down to Jerusalem for this. And in going to Jerusalem, of course, to deliver those funds for the needy saints. So those two things were in his mind. So he changed his plans here, and now he has some men traveling with him. It mentions Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, and Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. These men going ahead waited for us at Troas. Now we also can put together the fact that Luke joins the group again here, because now he begins to again talk about we and us that has not been used for since Acts chapter 17, the beginning of 17. And the conclusion of that was that Luke stayed on in Philippi during these times. When a church would be established and the Apostle Paul could not stay there, he took one of his assistants, if possible, and left them behind to stay on in that congregation to help give them stability and strength and further teaching in the Word of God. And now, so he is coming back through that area, Luke rejoins the group. Now we can add up the number of them and see that there are about 8 to 10 of his assistants now that are traveling with the Apostle Paul. But what is the purpose of these men who are traveling with Paul at this time? Well, I believe that the conclusion can be seen that these are men that are from each congregation that are going along because of the contribution that they are sending to help the needy saints. And from Derbe, there is Gaius. From these other congregations, Berea, there is Sopater. From Thessalonica, there is Aristarchus and Secundus. So each congregation has someone that they have chosen, a trusted member, and they are going and accompanying Paul on this travels as he is going down to Jerusalem. But we think about encouraging the brethren. Paul is gathering a contribution for the needy saints here. What is the purpose of that? That is to encourage them in their faith. That here you have the Jewish brethren who some would say they're kind of far distant from the Gentile brethren at this time, and still carrying some of those Old Testament traditions in their thoughts, to not fully accept one another and not be comfortable to love and care for one another. So the Apostle Paul is gathering a contribution among the Gentile churches to send to the Jewish congregations down in Judea that will encourage them and help them assure the fact that, brethren in Christ, we love one another. We want to unite the body of Christ. As Jew and Gentile, there is no separation between us whatsoever. We are all one in Christ. Now, as they are returning, though, he said, we sail from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days join them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Again, we see that Luke is part of the group. He is using the term we, that showing that he is with them at this time. But they are sailing now back to Troas, and on this time it takes 5 days. Now normally we have seen earlier in Acts chapter 1 that it would take about 1 to 2 days or 2 to 3 days to travel, to sail from Troas over to Macedonia. But here it took 5 days. And the indication of that is that the winds were sailing against them at this time. It was contrary winds, and it took 5 days for them to come to Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now we are going to see that the 7 days from this, it is on the first day of the week in Troas, beginning in verse 7. So they stayed 7 days in Troas, and if you add those up, you see that they arrived in Troas on the first day of the week. But it was too late in the day, evidently, for them to meet with the church. The winds were holding them back. They were having a hard time sailing that direction. It takes them 5 days to get there. And so the Apostle Paul, they stay 7 days in the city of Troas in order that on the first day of the week they can meet with the brethren in the city of Troas. And one of the only examples, one of the few examples that we find in the New Testament begins there in verse 7, where there is a personal fellowship that they have here with the brethren by gathering together on the first day of the week. So the first thing that we see here in Acts chapter 20 is the personal encouragement that we need to give one another, just as the Apostle Paul was doing. Wherever he went, what did he spend his time doing? He was there to encourage them in their faith. And that would have been the things that you would have heard him talking about, is how can we encourage you? How can we strengthen you? Praying together, reading the scripture together, talking about spiritual things, helping to build each other up in our faith. Those were the types of things that the Apostle Paul was always involved with in his discussions with fellow Christians. But now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. So we find here that during this first day of the week meeting, it describes how they were conducting the worship to some extent. That they came together on the first day of the week to break bread. And that wording there shows that the purpose of them gathering together on this first day of the week, as it was every first day of the week, they came together to break bread. And the breaking of bread here has in reference to the Lord's Supper. The breaking of bread can be in a common meal. And the basic meaning of it is to have a meal, to break bread with one another. Just like we would if we went out for lunch today and had a meal, that could be described as breaking bread. But in Acts chapter 2, following the day of Pentecost, it said they continued together steadfastly in the breaking of bread and the fellowship and prayer with one another. So as the early church continued to meet, they continued steadfastly in the breaking of bread. And of course, the Lord's Supper is described in the New Testament as the breaking of bread on the first day of the week. So here we have that example where the disciples came together to break bread on the first day of the week. Now, not on the Sabbath day. And we have our friends in the Seventh-day Adventists and other Sabbatarian groups today who read from the words of Ellen G. White. And Ellen G. White claimed to be a prophetess of God, claiming that the Lord had showed to her to continue to honor the Sabbath day as a Christian continuing example. And yet we find here that the apostles gathered together on the first day of the week to break bread. And why the first day of the week? Because this was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. In all of the Gospels, it is clearly pointed out that on the first day of the week, Jesus came forth from the tomb on the first day of the week. And what is the message, what is the most important characteristic that stands out as far as the message of the gospel of Christ It is proclaiming the resurrection of the dead, that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. So there is no surprise here that Christians were authorized coming together not on the Sabbath day, but on the first day of the week. And that is exactly what we find the Apostle Paul meeting together with them here on the first day of the week. And as they broke bread, he spoke to them. This indicates that he was preaching to them and he was dialoguing and discoursing with them in a way that they were able to also speak up and ask questions. And they had some interaction there with them as he was among them, where they could talk and they could make comments or they could ask him certain things. But it says he spoke to them. The Greek word is to dialogue. So there is a back and forth there that is indicated in this. But he spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. So the disciples came together to break bread, and there is teaching from the Word of God that is taking place here as they are coming together for fellowship, for Christians to meet together on a regular basis, this being the church in the city of Troas. The Apostle Paul is joining in among them. And now there is an unfortunate event that takes place at this point. As it is getting late in the night, he continued his speech until midnight, and it says there were many lamps in the upper room. Now, many lamps in the upper room, these would be burning some type of oil, and there would be smoke in the room, and it would make somewhat difficult breathing. So the windows were opened. This young man was sitting by the window, and he was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome with sleep and he fell down from the third story and he was taken up dead. His name was Eutychus. Now, the word Eutychus, it means good fortune. That was the meaning of his name. And it's estimated that this young man was somewhere between the age of 7 and 14 years old at this time. So he was just a young boy, a young lad. And he was sitting in the window, like one of these windows here, but it was on the third story of the building, and the window was open so that they could get some fresh air into the room, and he went to sleep and he fell out through the window. That was a tragic event that happened. But the Apostle Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, broken bread, and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed, and they brought the young man alive, and they were not a little comforted. The Apostle Paul, because of the power of God that was granted through the Apostle Paul, this tragedy that would have otherwise resulted in the death of this young man was turned around, and he was raised from the dead. In their very presence, this young boy was raised back to life, and great joy was overflowing among the brethren that night, and they continued to talk until daybreak the next morning. Now, from all that we know in the Roman society, the first day of the week was not a day that people did not work like they do today. First day of the week was a day of work, just like any other day. And according to the writing of one of the early writers, Irenaeus, he wrote in about the year 112 or 114, and he made the comment that Christians on the first day of the week get up at daybreak and partake of the Lord's Supper. And then in the evening hours, they come back again and they continue after they have worked throughout the first day of the week. So, first day of the week, don't have the thinking in your mind that this was a day that everyone had off from work and they could come at 11 o'clock in the morning and they could have their service in a way that was very convenient for everyone. The fact of the matter was, it was a day of work, and they had to get up before daybreak in order, because they had to go to work during the day, and yet those Christians were up and came and worshiped God early in the morning. This happened to be later in the day, as we see, that is talking about here. And Paul continued his speech until midnight. Now, those, again, are the words of a Roman historian. And it's not mentioned in the Bible, any of that. But it's interesting, I think, to consider the circumstances that people had during the first century that were somewhat different than they are for us today. Here was an unfortunate event. But what better occasion for the truth of the resurrection, the power of God to raise from the dead Jesus and to raise us from the dead. They saw it with their own eyes here. That here was the Apostle Paul who was able to go down and he prostrated himself and touched this man, young man, as he was lying there crushed to the ground, and he raised him up from the dead. Now, there's an example in the Old Testament of Elisha the prophet did the very same thing, that he went in, the man had died, the young man, and he lay down on top of him and he embraced him and he was raised back to life. Well, here the Apostle Paul did virtually the same thing, and this young man, it brought great comfort to everyone. But the thing that I want to emphasize again is here, Christians gathered together on the first day of the week for encouragement and to build each other up in the faith. And we need to be doing that. We need to be very active in that, because it's for a purpose that we come together. We come together to build each other up and to worship God and to renew our commitments to Him, that we are people who have chosen to follow Jesus in our lives, and we are standing against the world in many ways in doing this. We're coming out from the world and we're making a commitment to Jesus Christ, and we need to encourage one another in that so that we don't give up in our faith. Now, continuing on then, in the next few verses, we see Paul's personal integrity that is called attention to here in the text. Because first of all, they are traveling now as they left from Troas the next day. Said, we went ahead to the ship and we sailed to Assos, and there intending to take Paul on board, for so he had given orders intending to go on foot. And so he's traveling by foot, but they pick him up in the ship and they take them on down now to Miletus. And that's what we want to get to in our thoughts here about the meeting that he has with the elders here at the church in Ephesus. It said they sailed beyond Ephesus because Paul decided that he did not want to go up there in person because he was in a hurry to get to Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul, just like all of us, was thinking, if I go back up to Ephesus at this time, I'm going to get involved in the discussion there and I won't be able to pull myself away, and it will put us late getting to Jerusalem, or we might miss the ship. So he made the decision that they would not do that, but instead they would send for the elders and they would come down and meet him at the ship. And that way, if anything went wrong, the ship had to leave early, the Apostle Paul would not miss out on his journey to Jerusalem. But the elders came and met with Paul here, and they have a memorable meeting that takes place. Now I want us to quickly go through and look at these events that are happening here as we look at Acts chapter 20. First of all, Paul reminded them of his manner of life. He said, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. So first of all, he went back and reminded them of his integrity. That during those years that he spent with the Ephesians, 3 years that we know from Acts chapter 19, how he conducted himself, serving the Lord day in and day out, was his example, with all humility. And we need to appreciate the fact the Apostle Paul was a very humble man. He was the apostle. We might think that this could exalt him in his mind and he could become puffed up, but not. The Apostle Paul was a very, very humble man. And he served the Lord with humility. You remember the Apostle Paul said, I am the chief of all sinners. I am less than the least of all the saints. I was a persecutor of the church, but the Lord, in His mercy and His grace, He came to me and He saved me. Praise the Lord, He was so humble. And several examples in the New Testament is where Paul talks about we all need to be this way. We all need to be humble. We all need to think one another is better than I am. I am not the person that is better than you. I consider myself the least, and I am here as a servant. So the Apostle Paul did that, and he faced many trials and with tears that he talks about here. But he said, I kept back nothing helpful for you, but proclaimed and taught you publicly and from house to house. So he shows here the integrity that he had as he was there among the Ephesians. He was so involved day in and day out, doing everything he could to encourage them in their faith. But he said, I do not know what lies ahead at this point. He said, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So as the Apostle Paul here is talking with the elders, he is laying a foundation. Here's the way I have lived. Consider that example that I have committed myself to Christ and I have conducted myself. I've done everything I can to help you, but now I am going to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen. This may be the last time I will ever see you in this life. So I want this to count. So he begins to talk about personal responsibility at this point. He said, indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God to you. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And also among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn anyone, everyone, day and night with tears. Paul is starting out, he is talking about the responsibility that he knows he has, and the responsibility that they have as elders. He is innocent of the blood of all men. He has shunned not to declare the whole counsel of God. In other words, he's taught them the word of God so that they cannot come back in the day of judgment and say, we never heard about this, we were not told this, we should not be held accountable to that. The Apostle Paul was innocent of the blood of all men. He taught them the word of God fully and completely. So he then begins to exhort the elders to take heed to yourselves and the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now here is the responsibility of elders in the church. And this is the reason that we have elders, is that the Lord calls for the leadership to be divided and split out, and not just one person in leadership. There needs to be a multiple of leaders in the congregation. And in 1 Timothy, we see that they are qualified. They have qualifications to be appointed to be elders. But there is a work that the elders are given here that is a very important responsibility. Take heed to yourselves and the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And he talks about the fact that there is going to be an apostasy that is coming. And the Lord has revealed this to him, that even among the elders, there is going to be some who are going to turn away from the truth and lead others with them. So it is so important for him to give them these warnings and encourage and exhort them. Their responsibilities that they have are so important among the church because of what is perhaps lying ahead. They need everyone to give their very best, just as he was doing. But then he gives his personal example here in the closing verses. And we see here that when Christians part and see each other for the final time, that what do? We entrust each other to God and to his word. And we leave it in the hands that we commend you to God, we commend you to his word. We're not going to see each other again in this life, but let's commit to be faithful to God and to his word. He said, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel, and you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities for those who were with me. And I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak." And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Committed them to God's word. And he refers to the word of his grace. The word of his grace. That is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. God's word. So vital in our lives to build us up and give us this inheritance that God has planned for us. So we need to be spending time with God's word. Each one of us has a personal responsibility to take God's word and apply it in our lives. Do not covet material things, he reminds them. I did not never do this in any of the time I've been. You have never seen me coveting material things. And my concern is for the weak and the needy. And that is what we all need to do. To look out for one another. Here's one who is weak. Here's one who needs encouragement. Here's one maybe who is needy. And they need some financial assistance. So we need to always be looking for those individuals. How we can encourage and support them. There's an emotional farewell that takes place at this point. When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. So you can picture the scene there is a very emotional, parting, moving scene. The Apostle Paul, they are down on the docks of the ships or by the edge of the sea, and they are hugging and embracing and crying with each other that they will not see each other again, but encouraging each other to be faithful to the Lord. What are the applications that we can take away here from this lesson today? several, I think, that stand out. One of them, that we need to love each other as fellow Christians because Jesus bought us with His own blood. Jesus bought each one of us with His own blood. And because of that, we need to care for each other. Second, we need to be patient with people and give them time to grow, help them grow in the Lord. We all need time to grow, and we need to be patient with each other and encourage other believers every opportunity God gives us. Every time you have an opportunity to encourage a fellow Christian, encourage them in their faith, and be willing to pray when it is appropriate, cry with one another and shed tears of emotions that we have of how much we love and care for each other. And if we never see each other again, that we want to encourage each other to remain faithful to the Lord. And that way we can be together in eternity. But each one of us determined, as the Apostle Paul said, to finish the race that is committed to us, the ministry that is before us, what the Lord has entrusted to us, the work that He has set before us to do, that we are going to finish that course and run that race that the Lord has set before us. We are not going to give up. Even if there is persecution, if there is trials and hardship that come, we do not count our own life to be precious and dear. We are committed. We're going to finish the race the Lord set down before us. Those are some great lessons that we can take away here this morning. But the bottom line is to help us to see how important it is to build each other up in the faith. We're going to stand and sing the invitation that's been selected at this time. And if you are here today, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing. Walking in Sunlight.
Walking in sunlight on my journey,
over the mountain, through the deep vale, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee. Promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight.